music that we trust brings honor and glory to our Lord. That's what our heart's desire is. Not glorifying men, and it's always just good to sing those old favorites together. Let's look to him, the Lord, in prayer once again, and ask his blessing as we start a new direction this evening for our Sunday evening services. We thank you, Father, that we can be here. I thank you for these whose hearts you touch, that wanted to come to be here this evening. We praise you for it. I pray that you would be glorified as we want to take our evening services in a specific direction, a specific topic in the coming weeks and months. From the very outset, it's our desire that you lead us and guide us in this search. Father, we want to talk about truth and what is truth. And I pray that you would enable me in these coming services to have searched and found the answers and presented in such a way that your word is praised, looked upon, depended upon, and taught accurately, correctly. Help us each to grow in grace and in the knowledge of you in these coming days. We thank you now in your name. Amen. Well, Andrew, I suppose you want a title for your little disc back there. Let's call this, Is There Really Such a Thing? Is there really such a thing? Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, described a condition among his people centuries ago that sounds very much like America today. Turn with me to Jeremiah 7. Come prayer meeting Wednesday night, we're going to be in Jeremiah 7. We haven't gotten to this verse yet, but if you've been waiting for a Wednesday night invitation, you've gotten it. And you know where we're going to be, Jeremiah chapter 7. But in Jeremiah 7, 28, what Jeremiah unveils here sounds so much like America today. Let me read the verse for you. But thou shalt say unto them, This is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God. Now let me just put a PS here. We have never claimed that America has universally claimed the Lord as their God. This is referring to the Jewish people, and the Lord was their God. They were his people. But we were a nation that was founded on a respect for the Almighty God and a respect for his word in those early years. It is unmistakably verified if you search the records and read the writings. So having said that, it kind of sounds like what we have done. We have turned away from the Lord, haven't we? This is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction or instruction. Truth is what? perished. Doesn't that sound like our country today? And is cut off from their mouth. They don't even know what truth is. And how remarkable it is that centuries ago, Jeremiah described this was the heart condition of his people, God's people. It sounds so much like the condition we find ourselves in as a nation today. It is getting harder and harder to find someone who believes the truth, and harder to find someone who stands for and insists upon the truth. Let's turn, if we would, to John chapter 18. And this is the portion that really precipitated this study in my own heart. Some weeks ago, the Lord just brought this particular portion to my mind. I couldn't get it out of my mind. And I started doing some searching and research and believe that this is what the Lord would have us do on Wednesday nights. It's been a very long time since there's been any consistency on a topic for our Sunday nights. I think I misspoke a minute ago and said Wednesday nights. I meant to say for our Sunday nights. And in John chapter 18, let's begin at verse 33. Then Pilate entered the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What have you done? Jesus answered. Interesting, did he answer the question that Pilate asked? What have you done? He was going back and answering the question before, Are you the King of the Jews? My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered, but be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? That's the second time he's asked. Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness or tell the truth. Bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth or understands my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And that is the topic of our series, beginning tonight on Sunday nights. When he said this, he went out again unto the Jews, saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Interestingly, Pilate did not stand long enough for the Lord Jesus to give him an answer of what is truth. for your note takers, your first point tonight is, what is it? What is it? The dictionary states this. Number one, an archaic definition describes it as fidelity and constancy. Fidelity and constancy. It goes on and it talks about sincerity in action, character, and the state of being the case. The state of being the case. In other words, fact. That's the first thing, the definition that the dictionary describes it. It goes on and it talks about, secondly, the body of real things, events, and facts. And they describe that as actuality. Actuality. I thought one of the suggestions that it made in that dictionary was very interesting when it gave this third point, a judgment or proposition or idea that is true or accepted as true. It's true or it's accepted as true. They call that truth. That sounds a little bit shaky. Me, doesn't it? Because there's a lot of things in this world tonight that are accepted as true, and you know what? It's false. But remember, we're coming just from a secular dictionary. What does the world describe it as? I'd like us to change gears a little bit and move from the secular definition to the spiritual, or I hate this word, religious definition of it. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia had, I thought, one of the most interesting statements about the truth I can remember reading, and I thought when I read that, boy, that is certainly true. May I quote for you? They suggested, under the heading of truth, quote, no term is more familiar and none more difficult of definition. Isn't that good? No term is more familiar to us. We all talk about the truth, but there is no word more difficult to define. Continuing on in that same Bible encyclopedia, I thought this was an interesting statement. In the Bible, the known will of God is final for man as a standard of truth. The known will of God is a standard of truth, not as arbitrary, but as expressive of God's nature. God's nature is all comprehensive of fact and goodness, and so is all and in all the source, support, and objective of all concrete being. I know some of this is, you say, Pastor, you're losing me. Just listen and soak in what you can get, okay? The will of God thus reveals, persuades to, and achieves the ideals and ends of complete existence. The term truth is sometimes, therefore, nearly equivalent to the revealed will of God. That's true. Well, if we look at the Pictorial Bible Dictionary, they describe it as this: the concept of truth is assumed to be derived from the character of God. The concept of truth is assumed to be derived from the character of God. Well, you point takers, let's put down point number two. The first one was, what is it? And the second one we would say is this: truth about God. A couple of different references have pointed us, if we want to know what is truth, we need to find out what is the character of God. And so, you note takers, under number two, let's see A, his character. And turn with me to Isaiah 65:16. Isaiah 65:16. We want to see, first of all, truth about God in relation to his character. What kind of a God is he? What's he known for? Isaiah 65:16 says that he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. Two times in this verse, how is God revealed to us with regarding his character? Is he the God of falsehood? Is he the God of lies? Is he the God of deception? How is he revealed here with regards to his character? He is known as the God of truth. Let's look at Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. And we'll see verse 4. It says here, he, talking about God, the verse before that, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for his ways are judgment or just. A God of, what's your Bible say?
Truth.
Truth and without iniquity. There is no sin in God. He is a God of truth, just, and right is he. Great verses as we're considering the topic of what can we learn about the character of God. There's more good ones that we want to look at. Turn back to Exodus 34. Exodus 34, verses 5 through 7. Exodus 34, 5 through 7. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. Moses was up on Mount Sinai. He had taken two tablets of stone up on the mountain in verse 4. And the Lord, verse 5, descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, here's his name, the Lord, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity. Of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation. So, here he is revealed as the God who is abundant in truth, his character. Psalm 86, verse 15. Psalm 86, verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and, what's our key word? Truth. You can't talk about God without embracing the topic of truth. That is consistent with our God. He is truthful, and his works are always done in truth. Let's move on. Psalm 31, verse 5. Psalm 31, verse 5. Says this, into thy hand I have committed my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Where have you heard part of this verse before? Pardon? When the Lord was on the cross, yielding up his spirit. O Lord God, into thy hand I commit my spirit. You've redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Well, not only do I want us to consider the truth about God regarding his character, and we have seen numerous references to that. Just because we move from one topic to the other, beloved, don't assume that that's all the Bible has to say about this particular topic. You can find much. I have just selected some. And so to keep us moving on in our message, I want us to consider, secondly, or B, for you note takers, where the truth about God, A was his character, B, I want us to see the truth about God regarding his works, what he does. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 111, verses 7 and 8. Psalm 111, 7 and 8. The works of his hands are verity, or truths, and judgment, or justice. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast or firm forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. What is done in truth and uprightness? The works of his hands, verse 7. Everything he does is in truth and uprightness. Let's look at Psalm 33, verse 4. Psalm 33, verse 4. It says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." Let's look at Revelation chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. Revelation 15, 3 and 4. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, we can sing this, we know the tune to it. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, O King, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. All, as we see this great and marvelous in verse 3, are his works. Just and true are his ways. The multitude there in heaven singing his praises. Daniel chapter 4, verse 37. Daniel chapter 4, verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. Who's that? That's our God. All whose works are what? Truth. And his ways, judgment, or just, right, fair. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Nebuchadnezzar sure learned that, didn't he? He got to eat salad for seven seasons, living like an animal out in the pasture. And finally, when he lifted up his eyes, when his senses came to him, he was ready to admit the truth about our God. And you would think he might say, you know, he does some pretty strange things. He does some pretty weird things. He does some things that aren't really the greatest. But after he had lived like an animal in the field, he realized the truth about God, the King of heaven, all of his works are in truth. That's our God. That's our God. So, what have we seen so far tonight? We've asked ourselves, what is it? We saw it from the secular standpoint, and some of what they say isn't very reliable. we saw from the religious standpoint, it's admittedly, it's a very hard thing to put your finger on and come up with a nice little concise definition of it. It led us in the direction of the fact that most agree that if we want to know what is truth, it is that which is consistent with the character of God. And the more we can learn about God, the more we're going to discover about truth. Well, we've looked at the truth about God regarding His character, regarding His works. And I would like you note takers to put down number 3, the source of truth. Where can we go to find this truth regarding the character of God and His nature and His works, what He does? Anybody have a suggestion where we could go for a source?
Bible.
Hey! You get an A for the course.
I'm right.
His Word. John 8, 31 and 32. John 8, 31 and 32. Some of these verses are going to be very familiar to you. Some of them, perhaps, they're just going to be helpful to you as you compile your notes. Look at John 8, 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples, and continuing in My word is the preface of this. As My disciples, verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, okay. If they continue in His word as His disciples, they're going to know the truth. But, you know, really, Pastor, that hasn't really described it as the Bible. Okay, then let's continue on in the Lord's words and move to John chapter 17, verse 17. As the Father, as the Lord was praying to the Father in this 17th chapter, He lifted up His eyes, verse 1, to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may also glorify You. We drop down to verse 17. In that prayer, what did He say? Sanctify them through Thy truth. Well, where are His disciples supposed to find the truth? What's the rest of the verse say? Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Is this the only place in the Bible we find this? No. Go back with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. This is not just a New Testament concept that God's word is truth. Did they believe it in Old Testament times? They certainly did. In Psalm 119, verse 43, verse 42 and 43. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in Thy word, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in Thy judgments. What is the word referred to as here in verse 43. It's called what?
The word of truth.
Don't take your word from me, and don't take your word of truth out of my mouth. I'm counting on that. Look at verse 142 of Psalm 119. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is what? The truth. God's word, the truth. Look at verse 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all your commandments are, what's our key word? All of your commandments, they're truth. Do you see where we're going with this study? I would just state this. If you haven't figured out, I wonder what Pastor is going to use for the basis of this series in the coming weeks. What is truth? I wonder what source he's going to be relying on. I wonder where he's going to be turning for the answers that, by the way, folks can fill out those cards. We have them in the doorway in that little rack where the days of praise are kept. What is the truth about? And if you're not ashamed to sign your name, slide it under the door. And in the coming weeks, I told you this morning, I will give consideration to every card that's turned in and pray about it and see, would the Lord have me address that particular card, that particular topic, but I will give them honest consideration. So, as we wind ourselves down here this evening, Daniel 10:21, you don't need to turn to it. For you note takers, just write this down. There is a statement there that talks about the scripture of truth. The scripture of truth in Daniel 10:21. Well, we've looked at the source of truth, and I close with this last question. We saw his word is the source of truth. And unapologizingly, that's where my answers are going to be coming from. Pray for me that I will know how to answer the questions as the questions come in and as this series progresses. I want to give the truth. I want to know that what I'm finding in God's Word is the truth. One last question, though, for you note takers. Don't have your Bibles closed yet. Here's the last question. But can we trust it? Can we trust the Bible? Psalm 119, verse 2. Psalm 119, verse 2 says, I bet I was looking on, no, I'm on Psalm 118. Sorry about that. It's still not there, is it? I'm sorry about that. I'm going to have to double check and see why I wrote that one down. Can you trust it? Yeah, you can. Let's look at verse 89. I'll find out where I went astray on that one. Look at verse 89. To help us answer that question. I thought I had two verses. Can you trust it? Can you trust His Word? What's verse 89 say? Forever, O Lord, Thy word is what in heaven? Well, you give me a week and I'll find out what went wrong with that first reference. But I trust this will be a lesson to you as we start tonight our first installment of what is truth, biblical truth. That's what I want us to look forward to being blessed by in the coming weeks. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer, shall we? Thank you, Father, for giving us your word. We see it as the source of truth. We know that your word is settled forever. Another reference says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word will not pass away. But Lord, we live in a day and age when it is perhaps as important as it has ever been for children of yours to know not only what the Bible stands for and teaches and says, but us to be convinced in our heart enough that we are willing to stand for it, regardless of what the world would say. Help us to benefit from these studies in the coming weeks. Take us safely to our homes this